Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Well, it's Thursday, and here I am, still Penn Jillette, and still in Las Vegas. Team with Michael Goudeau. It's going to be a scary show for me today. We have a lot of exciting stuff to talk about, but I want to talk about something that I have trouble pronouncing, which is when you're a radio guy and you've got trouble pronouncing the thing you want to talk about most of the day, it's going to be hard. Foie gras. Is that right?
That's very good.
Foie
yes.
gras.
Foie gras.
I had 4 years of French in junior high and high school, and did not do well. Je m'appelle Penn. Je suis American. Ave un bibliothèque.
Okay, good.
Pretty good, huh?
Pretty good.
Quel embouteillage means what a traffic jam. I was in Paris going around the Champs-Élysées with a cab driver. I get in. There was a lot of traffic at the around the traffic circle. I said, quel embouteillage. He talked to me for like 15 minutes, probably saying your French is lousy and so on. But to me, it was a very, very funny thing. It was just a terrific thing. I am so terrible with any sort of accent whatsoever. I mean, I lived in Massachusetts, and a Boston accent was tough for me. I mean, if anybody does a slightly different accent from me, I have a terrible time. So I want to talk about foie gras. Foie gras?
Foie gras?
Because our brothers and sisters in Chicago are being oppressed. Do you
they
know
are.
About this?
Yes, I do.
Chicago prohibits foie gras. See, I'm trying to read this article. When I see the foie gras here, F-O-I-E-G-R-A-S, but my wife wrote it down phonetically for me. I have it on my computer, F-W-A-G-R-A-H, foie gras. So I have to look back. My eyes have to rocket back. Chicago prohibits, and I see foie gras, and I have to go to foie gras. Chicago, our brothers and sisters in Chicago are no longer being allowed to have a foie gras. For those of you who don't know foie gras, we're not going to candy coat this at all. Foie gras, it means fat liver. That's the literal translation. Foie gras means fat liver. It's the fattened liver of a duck or a goose that has been overfed. Along with truffles, foie gras is considered one of the greatest delicacies in French cuisine. It is very rich and buttery with a delicate flavor unlike regular duck or goose livers. What they do, this goes back to like 2500 B.C., this delicacy, where they would find that your migrating birds. It seems like I know a lot about this, doesn't it?
Sure
Wikipedia.
Does. You can't even say it.
Nah, foie gras. I've had it. You know, I've had foie gras. Have you ever had foie gras?
I have many times,
yeah,
yes.
It's a pate. It's not a pate. It's just the liver itself kind of mashed up. And they the geese that they make this with
yes, the geese are in. Cool. Let's make foie gras. Quack.
The ones that, the way they make it is they force feed. They use gavage is the French term for stuffed feeding. It's also a medical term for feeding those who can't feed themselves. So they take the ducks or goose free range for a while, right? They run around for a while. They give them, they start changing them over to a very starchy diet, right? And then they put this tube down their throat where they do not want to damage the esophagus, and then they ram food down, so they overeat, and that makes their liver very fatty. Then they serve it to rich people, but no longer in Chicago.
Chicago
has just passed a law. What'd you say?
Fatwa gras. We're fighting against it.
Yeah, foie gras. Animal rights advocates describe the product as inhumane treatment. Oh, yeah, it is. It's inhumane. It's absolutely inhumane. But I just, this is what I don't understand. You know, we have a duck in our show. Wait a minute. We have a duck in our show. How hard would it be to force feed Lord Duckley, who's in our show?
And Lord Duckley, too.
Our duck.
Lord Duckley, too. Two.
The duck that we have in our show, I know. We have two.
No.
Lord Duckley, two.
You sent Lord Duckley back to Mr. Gillette. Mr. Burton. My boss is confused.
Right. We have a different Lord Duckley. And the new Lord Duckley is better, by the way. The new Lord Duckley is fatter. He quacks a lot more, which on stage, that's comedy. You know, if you're trying to make comedy, two things you can do. Quacking always makes comedy, and dressing animals in people clothes. We haven't gone that far yet, but I think that animals in people clothes, Paul Provenza, the director, of the Aristocrats and a man who really does know no comedy, the man who really does no comedy, has said that Animals and People Close is the backbone of comedy. So I think we need a little top hat and a little
vest.
We have
bow ties at the Lance Burton Show for the Ducks. We've actually taken it out.
Why did you do the bow ties?
Well, I didn't. I personally, no. I have nothing to do with the Ducks and the bow ties.
But who made the decision?
I would assume Lance made that decision.
Lance said no more bow ties with the Ducks?
It's getting too many laughs. I think it's probably overtaken the rest of the show. The Ducks with bow ties, I'd have to fire the juggler if I keep the Ducks with the bow ties. They're killing him.
But here's the thing. Foie gras is definitely cruel and horrible and miserable. But so is eating animals. You know what I mean? That's the problem. And this is one. This is a cause I feel really, really great about, because I am entirely in favor of legalizing all drugs. I mean, really legalizing all drugs. And I don't just mean pot. I don't just mean speed and acid. I don't just mean heroin. I mean all drugs. I mean, no FDA. You can just buy whatever drug you want over the counter. You just buy it. Now, I know there's a problem with people who use antibiotics and there'll be drug-resistant strains, and I haven't solved that problem yet. But I don't have to, because I'm a nut. Do you understand that? When you're a nut, you push for things so far beyond what's actually going to happen, there is no responsibility involved. Now, if you're in Massachusetts and you're possibly getting socialized health care in and you're going to win, then there is moral culpability, because you may actually screw up the health of many, many people in your state. But if you are a full-blown whack job wingnut like Penn Fraser Gillette talking on the radio, you don't have to think things through. They're not going to make heroin legal. So what, you know, I can rant about it all I want. If there are repercussions, it doesn't matter. That's the great thing about my point of view. That's the great thing about the atheist libertarian point of view. You are going to lose anyway, so there is no responsibility whatsoever. So, foie gras. Chicago prohibits frog. The ban adopted on a vote of 48-1. Who's the one guy? Who's the one fat bastard sitting there going, I want the swelled up duck of, I want that swelled up liver of goose going down. They put it sometimes on top of a filet mignon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Grilled? That's fantastic.
Oh, man. That's some good eating. And I have a list of places. Do you have the list of places that Easy got for you?
I give it to you, I
did
believe.
You give it to me? The list of places that have foie gras in Vegas?
I'll find it up again.
You gave it to me. You gave it to me and I lost it. This says all draft on it, banana peeling. I have all these pieces of paper in front of me and none are the ones that I want. I just want the list of all the places. Anyway, here's the statement from, I don't know who this guy is.
The Burger Bar at Mandalay Bay.
The Burger Bar. Do you have the whole list? I want the list on paper. Oh, here it is right here. It's right here. In Vegas itself, just in Vegas, okay? I can't say that name at the MGM Grand. Knob Hill at the MGM Grand. Picasso at the Bellagio. Aqua at the Bellagio. The Bellagio is just maggoty with foie gras. Latouche. How's it pronounced? Latesse. Latesse. Latouche. At the Venetian. Fleur-de-Lis at Mandalay Bay. Spago at Caesars. Napa at the Rio. At the Rio. Right with Penn and Teller. You can go see Penn and Teller and then go have fatty liver afterwards. The Napa. Le Cirque, of course, at Bellagio. I went to Le Cirque at Bellagio, which is like the most expensive restaurant in the world. And I went, because it's a really classy restaurant, we were having foie gras. You know who I went with to Le Cirque? Mm-hmm. If you were going to go to the classiest restaurant in the world, who would you go with? Who are you thinking you'd go with? Who's the classiest person you'd go with? Who's really, like Julia Roberts you'd go with, maybe?
No.
Is that class? You go classier than that?
I'm trying to think of someone who would be dressed up a lot.
Really classy, really good. Who would you go with? The Queen of England?
James Bond.
James Bond you go with? Maybe you go with, who'd I go with? Who'd I go to Le Cirque with? Al Goldstein and Ron Jeremy. That's who I went to Le Cirque with. And while we were eating dinner.
You were buying, right?
No, I wasn't buying. Al Goldstein was buying. Now, wow. No wonder he ended up homeless in New York and we had to get him an apartment.
If only he'd saved a little of that money.
He was buying foie gras for Ron Jeremy and Penn Jillette. two fat guys.
He would pay his rent for 2 months now.
Yeah, I'm just,
dinner.
But that's okay, because I'm paying his rent, so it's all right. He's covered.
There you go.
So I end up losing. And I actually, at Le Cirque in Las Vegas, where they serve foie gras, unlike the pig power structure in Chicago, Jean Boston president of the Farm Sanctuary, an animal protection group that supports such bans, said Chicago would become the first place in the country to enforce one. This is a quote. Today, Chicago made a historic, kind statement, and I think its ramifications will be felt in other parts of the country. Damn Skippy, Gene! People are going to be coming to Vegas like crazy to get that foie gras. Yeah, what do we got in Vegas? We got gambling, we got hookers, and we got foie gras. Get your asses out here. Get your fat livery asses out to Vegas and enjoy some foie gras with Michael Goudeau and Pendula. Look at all these places. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking, this has been hatching in my mind. It was in the middle of this Ron Jeremy story. I get a plan here, but I'm going to go back to the Ron Jeremy story. I asked Ron Jeremy how much it would cost for Ron Jeremy to, at Le Cirque, I was, you know, talking about cash money, how much it would cost for him to take out the part of him that made him famous and place it in the chocolate dessert. Just there for all of us, you know, just place it in the chocolate dessert. We were there with two women lawyers, right? We had those were our dates. It was Ron Jeremy. See, things, nutty things happen to me, okay? When you eat foie gras at Le Cirque in Vegas, we had two female attorneys, Ron Jeremy, Al Goldstein, and me. And I said to the female attorneys, if I can find a price. And I said to Ron Jeremy, what's the price? And he said, well, normally, to pull out the part of me that made me famous and slip it into a chocolate cake, that would be like $5, $10. But we're at Le Cirque with my dear friend Al Goldstein, and I think we're going to get thrown out. And he'd be thrown out of Le Cirque forever, and he loves this. So I would think it would have to be about $15,000. I went, wow, that's a lot of money just to put. I mean, how much would it cost? You could write in now. We're 866-313-FREE, 3733, pedradio@gmail.com. How much cash money on the barrel head to put the part of you that made Ron Jeremy famous into a chocolate cake at a fancy restaurant in public? How much is that going to cost? Anyway, one of the lawyers there said, you have to understand, if you go to, like, Thank God It's Fridays and pull out the part that made Ron Jeremy famous and flop it in the chocolate cake, you're thrown out forever, okay? If you go to McDonald's, you're thrown out forever. But if you go to Le Cirque, you're probably not. What they probably do is, you know, a couple waiters come over and kind of block so the rest of people can't see, but they probably offer you a moist towel. You know, they probably
the service
just,
is good.
The service is really good, really, and they good. Don't want to. Anything you want to do at Le Cirque is probably okay. So, listen, I've been kind of hatching, as usual, almost everything on the. I said almost. Why would I say almost? Almost everything on the Penn Jillette Show is so clearly half-assed. I think that we should make some sort of deal where if people write into us. And they go, and they're willing to fly out from Chicago. We want driver's licenses from Chicago, and they're going to be visiting Vegas. Okay, maybe we should make a deal that some night that we have off, you know, or some lunch, we should go to like maybe Napa at the Rio, and we should all have foie gras with like the people that write. And I haven't really set up a contest here.
We need someone in Chicago to set up a website for this to happen, right? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
So but we can all get together, pick a date.
Pick a date, and I don't know whether we're going to do. Maybe we can't get CBS to pay for a lot of foie gras.
That seems a little unlikely. We can't get them to pay for a little of us.
If Opie and Anthony were going to serve foie gras at a Catholic church in Vegas, we could. I mean, Catholic church. You know, if Opie and Anthony were going to have, you know, the weirdest place you can eat foie gras and have actual tapes of people eating foie gras in a cathedral, then maybe CBS would foot the bill and then, of course, fire them and then rehire them back at more money. That's where it's gone. Oh, what? I think he's – yeah. You got an American Express card? Oh, you have – he has the CBS card.
He has the CBS card.
We could go to Napa, and I'm sure if it's not open, like before the Penn & Teller show, we could all go to Napa. What time do you have to be at your show?
Like 7.
Or we could do it on like a Monday night.
Absolutely.
So you'd have time. We could all go out to foie gras. See, I believe in this. I have been so pro-legalization of drugs forever, and it rings hollow because I've never had to. Of course, Normal loves it. Normal just says, yeah, we got Penn Jillette. He's never had any drugs, but he's in favor of legalizing them, huh? Like anybody cares what the hell I think. And they also, like every 4 years, they do an interview in High Times about, you know, sober, straight Penn Jillette wants things legalized. But foie gras, I can get behind. You know?
You can do
this one. I can get behind. I really feel good about this.
You're gonna have foie gras until you pass out in the gutter.
Are anybody calling in from Chicago?
No,
foie gras?
Chicago? No, it'll be crazy. Okay. They're all hiding in their cars.
With their little tins of foie gras. It's a $500 fine if you serve it.
I think we should start smuggling foie gras into Chicago. This is our chance.
Yeah, Michael, I'm calling you Michael because when I respect you, I call you Godot. Michael, when you want to be a smuggler,
yeah,
one of the things you do is not announce it on the radio.
Oh.
See, that's what you do.
That's why you're the boss.
A lot of your best
smugglers
haven't announced it. But foie gras, it's forced, it's cruel, it's horrible. And this is what I don't understand, I guess.
I've been attacked by geese.
You geese are mean They're really mean bastards. Yeah, they'll bite you. They'll attack you. They're awful,
this
awful things.
This tastes good and it's revenge.
See, the stressed or hurt bird won't eat and digest well and produce foie gras. So what you're saying, what it seems to be, is that you have, this is the deal that many, many animals make. If you're a wild goose, and you know, I've seen you sometimes.
I've been a wild goose.
You can be a wild goose. If you're a wild goose or a wild duck, you have a different kind of life. If they were, you know, really clearly sentient, really aware, sentient may not be the right word because it means to sense, right? So they are sentient. But if they were conscious, is that the word you want for goose? What do I want for the word? If they were aware of their own mortality, if they could talk to us. Nazi Dr. Doolittle. He made the animals talk. That's a Michael O'Donohue joke. If they could tell us, they might make that deal. You know what I mean? You might say, if you were a duck, that you'd rather work in the Penn and Teller show with no predators and food and come out on stage and quack than be in the wild where you do have predators, right? You're gonna definitely have worms and stuff like that. I've been reading the Parasite book. It might be a better deal. And maybe, you know, maybe the foie gras thing is a pretty cool deal. Like, if you told me I could live like pretty free and then toward the middle to the end of my life, I was just going to be stuffed so full of fat that my liver blew up, I might take that deal. You know what I mean? If you're going
to
shove.
I think you have taken that deal. You used to travel on the road all the time, didn't you?
Yeah.
Now you're at the Rio.
I'm at the Rio. And
you seem to be gaining weight.
I am gaining weight. I'm gaining weight. And Happy Jack comes in with dozens of Krispy Kreme donuts. Yeah. And they put a gavage down my throat. And they just shovel them down. CBS is fattening up Penn Jillette's liver for a special kind of foie gras.
Of
a big party.
Chicago.
But if you've got some sort of plan, like maybe there's a restaurateur in Chicago that wants to come out here and borrow a kitchen and cook foie gras for everybody or something like that. There should be something beautiful that happens.
When does the law go into effect? Because we should have a foie gras tour, the last night of foie gras.
I think it doesn't say. But I have a great quote. I mean, I don't know how much I agree with Mayor Daley. Richard Daley said, "We have children getting killed by gang leaders and dope dealers," Mr. Daley said, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. "We have real issues here in this city, and we're dealing with foie gras. Let's get some priorities." That's what he said. I agree with Richard Daley in Chicago. Chicago people who love foie gras, if you want to call in, 866-313-FREE, 3733. Lots more to talk about.
Your wife has sent in the perfect name for this party, the Foie Gras Hurrah.
The Foie Gras Hurrah. This is Penn Jillette. We're going to talk to you some more. PennRadio.com, 866-313-FREE, 3733. Foie Gras. Penn Jillette here on the big free FM, 866-313-FREE, 3733. We got a lot of calls. We got to take some of these calls. And we got, it's PennRadio.com, PennRadio@gmail.com. The Gmails are coming in like crazy. And we get all sorts of stuff. I want to read a letter because it shows that I'm wrong, which is always important. We figure I'm wrong about every 20 seconds. So here's one from Ken. Just because you have roots in Newfoundland doesn't mean you can comment as if you were Canadian. The province only joined Canada under 60 years ago, so I suspect your family ties go back to before they were in Canada. They are culturally different, though certainly not worse than much of Canada. That's from Ken in Waterloo, Ontario. Correction taken. Correction taken. Got another letter. Where's the letter?
I have one right here. This is about the foie gras. Once again, Penn doesn't get it. It's not about cruelty. It's that we don't want foie gras eating pansies hanging out in our steak joints. You goose-hating, monkey-loving parasite farm.
He's just right.
He was right yesterday, too.
Here's a note from Chicago. This is from Chicago that says, I know it's not Tuesday, but could you play that monkey music, White Boys? That's for Monkey Tuesday. And the next Monkey Tuesday, you will have more of that music than you can possibly imagine. That's from Teddy in Chicago. He doesn't sign it, but I know Teddy's style. It's like that one that, you know, the guy who calls me Parasite Farm.
Yeah.
What is he writing Dave. Every day or something?
Dave.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Dave writes
two days
every
in a row that I know.
I wanted to just do a little thank you to Jimmy Kimmel. Did you see Jimmy Kimmel's show last night?
I didn't.
Me neither. But I was sent a link from the Jimmy Kimmel show. He did a story on the David Copperfield robbery, or the attempted robbery, where David Copperfield used magic like a superhero to thwart. And Jimmy Kimmel told that whole story and then said that the perpetrators got away, but they had police artist sketches of the perpetrators. And then Jimmy Kimmel showed really nice police artist sketches of me and Teller. It was really terrific and very, very flattering and groovy. Another piece of news that's really, really good, I think it's good. It's either very good news or very bad news. Angelina Jolie, have you heard of her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and Brad Pitt are gonna do. They've just bought. Right. Incidentally, the other Angelina Jolie thing. You know, the Kurt Cameron.
Yeah.
Banana thing.
Yeah.
That whole thing about how the banana must have been designed by God because it's so perfectly suited to the mouth.
Yeah.
We had one wonderful letter that we can't read, but I'll just give you a little hint of it. One wonderful letter about how the design of Angelina Jolie's ass tells us something about God and bananas. But Hollywood celebrity couple Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Now, this was something that I didn't even find in the news. My wife dug this up. Are reportedly interested in starring together. Okay, that'll be a big deal. I mean, I guess they did that Mr. and Mrs. Jones thing, right? Which was
Smith,
which was horrible. So them starring together is not necessarily a good thing. But I love Brad Pitt. I just love Brad Pitt. Angelina Jolie, you know, is good. She's very attractive. But am I saying it wrong? Jolie? It's Jolie. Okay. Angelina. Foie gras. Foie gras. Jolie. Foie gras. Jolie. Boy, you could have some fun with some foie gras and Angelina Jolie, couldn't you? Here's the part that I'm building up to. Now, this was not big news, but it should be big news. They are starring together in the planned big screen adaptation of Ayn Rand's epic novel, Atlas Shrugged. Who is John Galt? The novel tells the story of the American economic collapse, boo-ha, followed by widespread strife and civil war in a bleak future, and is told with the author's characteristic mastery. See, this is someone who likes Ayn Rand, like me. Attempts have been made in the past to have the novel adapted to the big screen, most notably through the efforts of producer Al Ruddy, who tried through the 70s and 80s to lure big stars to his planned production. However, Rand retained script approval until her death in 82, and justifiably, given the magnitude of the novel, was not willing to approve anything mediocre. I mean, Ayn Rand's whole life was not approving anything mediocre, right? The rights for the novel were purchased by Howard and Karen Baldwin in 2003 after their success with Jamie Foxx-helmed biopic Ray, and they now hope to launch the movie adaptation, hopefully with Pitt and Jolie on board. That is so great. Great. You know, if Ayn Rand goes into the mass media that way, some people thinking about that stuff could be really cool. We got some phone calls, don't we?
We do.
Okay.
We do. We have all kinds of crazy stuff. Let's go to, lost it, sorry.
Just say a number.
Line four.
Let's have a phone call from line. Who knows what they could be calling about? We've mentioned so much. We'll be talking about anything. How you doing, line four? Oh, man. It's the New York plague again. New York, you pick a line. Any line you think you can get on the air, give to us, New York. New York, just call up the pizza delivery guy. Come on, New York. You can do it. You're the greatest city on earth. You should be able to give us one goddamn phone call. I'm begging at this point. Come on, New York.
Line two.
Line two, New
York.
I'll
make the call. No.
Hey!
Hey!
Woo! Yes.
It's Marty Foie Gras.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
What's up?
Hey, I was wondering about this Cheney, when he's hunting geese, does he go after that stuff?
I don't know. I don't know if he does the foie gras. I don't think you can hunt geese that would have foie gras because you have to stuff the pipe down their throat.
Hey, have you seen that bumper sticker about Cheney?
No, I haven't.
I think it's one of the most popular around here in Colorado.
What is it? Tell me.
That I'd rather go hunting with Cheney than driving with Kennedy.
Okay, that's a really good one. You got anything else?
Oh, the only other thing is, did you see what Cheney got back on his tax return?
No, I didn't.
Over $2 million.
Did he really?
Yeah.
$2 million.
Yeah, that's his return.
He let the government have it with interest for a whole year.
Thanks a lot, man. Thank you.
Okay,
thanks a lot.
He needs a better tax accountant if he's getting $2 million back.
Yeah.
He overpaid.
That's what he said. He let it have for a year for interest. But my favorite bumper sticker that I've seen is America, making enemies faster than we can kill them, was a bumper sticker I saw making a good point. Speaking of which, Neil Young's big album starts streaming tomorrow night, right? They start streaming it,
the new
anti-war album. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that someone's really, and I mean, that just means that the discussion will go on. And we were talking, you know, about the war. We were talking yesterday about the draft. A guy wrote in and said that. We got a great letter from a Marine who refused the draft, which is pretty cool. I would like to take more calls. There were some really cool calls.
We have a really good Gmail again, though.
I know, but I wanted to go with calls. But if you've got we had, like, great calls about, you know, foie gras. I'm going to tell people how great the calls were that were dropped. What is my motive for doing that?
I don't know.
But, I mean, we got a lot of stuff you could call about or write Gmails about. Although your best bet now, I think, is the Gmails. I think we've been dropped. You know, we've been cut off from all communication by phone. So the best way is maybe Gmail or a message in a bottle or something. But we got this nice letter from Mike.
We were talking about the draft yesterday. Yeah,
yeah, and he was talking about a guy that wrote in and said he didn't know if he wanted to register for the draft, even though there was no draft. He wanted to register.
A million emails about this.
I'm a former United States Marine. I enlisted when I was 18 at the end of high school. 3 months after I enlisted, I get a letter from the draft board saying I had to register. I called them up and said I wasn't going to do it because I was already enlisted in military service. More importantly, I feel that mandatory military service is immoral and against everything our great nation stands for, and wasn't going to have my name associated with such a system. Even though I proudly serve my country and feel military service has been a great learning experience in my life, and given the chance, I do it again in a heartbeat. I think mandatory service is 100% wrong and should be made illegal. I joined the Marines because that was the right choice for me. It may not be the right choice for someone else, and therefore that person shouldn't have to be there. So when I called the draft board and told them I wasn't signing up because, one, I was already enlisted and couldn't be drafted no matter what, and two, because I'm morally opposed to mandatory anything, the response I got was, we don't care, sign up anyway, or legal action could be taken against you. Basically, I get the point, they weren't even listening to my reasons. All they cared about was their stupid bureaucratic rules. The draft itself wasn't even important to them. All that mattered was the standard bureaucratic bulls hit of no exceptions to anything for any reason. I chose to not send back the little form to complete the registration process out of principle. That was in 1996. I haven't heard a word about it since. I spent 6 years in the Marines, got my GI Bill benefits, haven't been audited by the IRS, don't have Social Security threatening me for anything, and basically have felt no ill effects from it. The draft board is made up of bureaucratic dorks, and like any other bureaucratic dorks, they are not to be feared. Even if they wanted to take action against you, they are such hardcore bureaucrats it would take 15,000 pages of requests forms them to actually do anything. So, F the draft and selective service. That's coming from a Marine who would have gladly put himself in harm's way to protect this great nation. If that doesn't answer the question of should I register for the draft when I'm against the war, I don't know what does. That's the Marine, man. All the great stuff we have. What are you saying?
I'm saying check the third letter. Letter.
Oh, the third letter. Okay, third letter.
I'm telling you, the third letter okay. has a reason you might want to consider.
This is the other side of the argument. this is, I'm in New England, I'm in my New England town, we register at the old town hall in an office at the end of a long hallway. After I registered, there was a young woman walking out in front of me who, while shouldering her bag, had unknowingly hitched up the back of her miniskirt to her waist. I had a nice ass shot walking all the way down that highway. Registering for the draft? Good. This is Penn, Penn Jillette of Free FM with Michael Goodell. We'll be back after this. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. Penn Radio. There's two sides of the draft you can think about. We should get some calls from New York. Just needs to Where is the outrage? Where is the outrage in Chicago at the foie gras? You know, we are kind of mixing up the foie gras with Angelina Jolie. Got Happy Jack crazy. He's talking about force feeding Angelina Jolie in the other room. He has his whole little thing. He's got probably a web page set up that'll be banned. His MySpace spot is considered to be a very bad idea. This is a call out to Steve Dahl. Steve, where the hell are you on this foie gras thing? 866-313-FREE 3733. If you're Steve Dahl or somebody else, you can feel free to call in and talk to us. I would imagine Steve Dahl, he owns restaurants, doesn't he? Doesn't he own restaurants? Yeah, he owns a few restaurants in Chicago. He seems like, I mean, looking at him, he's a foie gras eater.
He's on our side of the foie gras.
He should be on our side of the foie gras. Where is the outrage? I'm expecting, for those of you in Chicago who keep listening after me, and that's not what anybody does. No one listens to Steve Dahl after me. They listen to us before Steve Dahl.
Right.
No one's going, well, I'm listening to Penn Jillette, so might as well hang around for Steve Dahl. They're saying, oh, I don't want to miss a moment of Steve Dahl, so I'll turn it on an hour early and hear those other goofballs from Vegas. But I'm really surprised that Steve Dahl hasn't been doing. We should do a Steve Dahl-Penn Jillette team-up for a Chicago trip for some foie gras, or we should ship in some illegal foie gras to our brothers and sisters in need over there. It's shouldn't talk about smuggling. Shouldn't talk about smuggling. Someone wrote in and said that the whole foie gras thing was not a cruelty issue. It was a patriotism issue, and we should call it freedom liver, which I think is a great idea.
That's
Let's
Chris,
try.
Yeah,
listen,
idea,
I'm feeling wild. Look at me when I'm talking to you, son of a bitch. Look at me. I look crazy, don't I? I look wild, mad.
You have the red glasses on.
Yes. I look impetuous, like I might do anything.
Yep.
I'm going to try to take another call.
Okay.
That's the way you got to feel on this show. New York, what line we got?
Line one, please.
Line one.
Elisa.
Elisa. Hello? Elise, you there?
Yes, I'm here,
Pun. Woo! How you doing, boss?
Good. I'm not from New York. I'm from Chicago.
Okay, that's okay. No, when I said New York, I meant our phone lines are connected through New York and they screw up. We knew you were from Chicago. See, we were doing this in talk. For those of you who say, when we're bitching about New York, we're not bitching about the whole city. We're bitching about the radio control group there. So what's up, Elise?
Well, I'm from Chicago, and I'm a vegetarian.
Okay.
And I'm really not so much for this foie gras ban.
Okay, so you're not for the ban?
No, not at all.
Absolutely. Tell me about it.
Well, I mean, the thing is, animals that are raised for food are just, in general, they're just treated really bad.
Uh-huh. Really bad.
I don't think that the foie gras geese are treated the worst of them. And I just kind of feel like this is like saying that the answer to domestic violence is to say that, like, if your wife is blonde and under 5'2", it's a felony to beat her.
Right.
But otherwise, it's not so bad, you know?
You're saying that it assuages conscience without actually doing something about what you consider to be the bigger problem.
Right. I mean, it's just sort of like, well, maybe the voters will think we're nice to animals if we sort of put this Band-Aid on them.
That is clearly what it is. Are you a PETA nut?
Oh, no, I hate PETA.
Okay. Talk about that a little bit.
I hate, they're nuts. For one, I mean, they're really crazy, and I think that they're out of line, and they're more about the celebrity spokespeople thing than than the real issue. And I'm not against really having animals raised for food.
Okay, you're not a vegan, is that right?
No, I'm not. I just think that if we're going to raise animals for food, they should be treated humanely. I mean, they can feel pain, and I think that we don't have the right to inflict the pain on them.
So you would just like swift, clean kills then?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
also comfortable cages and so on?
Right. So, I mean, I would say that before foie gras, really, I think a better answer to, you know, the animal cruelty issue would be more like, you know, we'd have to serve cage-free eggs or, you know, humanely treated bird eggs, you know, before, like, the foie gras.
Now, if they did this, if you had animals treated in a way that you considered to be humane, would you start eating meat?
I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. So are you an ethical vegetarian or a health vegetarian?
I'm an ethical vegetarian.
Okay. But your ethics are not that animals cannot be killed and eaten. Your ethics are animals should be killed and eaten in a humane way. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay. So if someone goes hunting, for instance, you're okay with that? Eating like venison from?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I am.
It's just the caging.
Right.
It's the caging
and
that bugs
the way that they're, you know, like the branding and just.
Now, branding is sexy. don't you be trashing branding. You know fully well, Elise, if you were a cow and we branded your ass, you would dig it, right?
Well, but that's okay. Me personally.
I know it's you personally. I just want to tell you how well I can read people over the phone. Okay. I imagine, do you have tattoos?
I do. I have four.
Of course you have tattoos. Of course you do. What have you got?
I have a tattoo on my ankle.
Uh-huh.
A little clover that says Irish. I have a little flower on one of my toes.
Uh-huh.
I have a clotta on my lower back, and I have one that I can't mention on the radio.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What?
She has a goose liver tattooed on her butt.
What was the word you said about clotta?
Clotta.
What's that?
It's the Irish symbol for friendship, love, and loyalty. It's two hands holding a heart with a crown on it.
Okay, let me just do another. This is just an example of a psychic reading. Let me guess this. You are red-haired and probably drunk most of the time. Is that correct?
The red isn't so much natural, but... And I'm only drunk like 25% of the time.
Okay. But your tattoos say that. So you are branded yourself. You just don't want cows to have that pleasure.
Well, I kind of chose that.
Okay. But I mean, if you didn't choose it, you would still... Okay, I want to find out this, though. There's one tattoo you can't mention. Is it because of the location of the tattoo or what the tattoo is?
It's the location.
It's not like a FTW written out or something. It's the location. Is it above the waist?
No.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Back or front?
Front.
Front, yes! That's what I knew I liked you right away. We can forgive the vegetarian. And what is the depiction?
It's a four-leaf clover.
Because if you get there, you're lucky. Is that
right,
your point?
Exactly
the point. How big is the four-leaf clover?
It's about 3 inches.
Has that got anything to do with relativity? No, never mind. Nothing to do. That was an inappropriate joke that crossed a line somewhere there. But you are so you would if you know, vegetarians, you have to be a very rich culture to support vegetarians, because to get enough calories, on the savannah hundreds of thousands of years ago, you really needed to have humans be omnivores to be able to grow the size brain we have. But if you were put in a situation where animals were roaming free and so were you, you would clearly do like your Irish ancestors and club to death any mammal you saw and eat it raw. Is that right?
If I had always lived out on the savannah, yeah. But now,
yeah.
I don't, I live in the suburbs of Chicago. I don't need to club.
So what's your favorite food? What's your favorite food in Chicago?
I like our pizza. I like a lot of Indian food and Thai food. So
you like that deep dish pizza?
I do.
Oh yeah. See, I'm more a New York, you know, flat pizza, you know, with the floppy crust type thing. But the deep dish thing I get into when I'm in Chicago, it's a good thing. You know, this is a great phone call. Thanks so much. I like much more hearing about your tattoos than about the vegetarianism. But you take the good with the bad, you know? Thanks so much. Thanks so much, boss, for calling. You got another call you want to take?
Sure,
in a little bit of time.
Let's talk to Mark on line 8.
Mark, where are your tattoos? You there, Mark?
I have one big lobe of foie gras tattooed across my chest.
where are you out of, Mark?
I'm just leaving Chicago.
Oh, cool. And what are you calling about?
You know, I think that the place you forgot to mention in Vegas for foie gras has got to be Michael Mina, because if people aren't familiar with foie gras, when you get it, you usually get a little tiny piece about a quarter inch thick and a couple inches by a couple inches. And Michael Mina's in Vegas, in the spirit of overdoing everything, they will give you the entire lobe for dinner.
Really?
Which is about a half a pound of foie gras, or three quarters of a pound. And when you eat that much foie gras, you know what it tastes like?
What?
Liver.
Where's this? I don't even know. Do you know this restaurant?
Which wasn't it?
Where is it at?
Michael Mina? It's in one of the big casinos.
Okay.
That narrows it down.
And you've had it there?
Yeah, the one and only time. That was a mistake. It was the classic case of too much of a good thing not being wonderful.
And how much did it cost? Do you remember?
It was probably pushing $100.
There you go. You're living large.
There you go.
Okay, thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot.
Here's a place in Tahoe that Scotty and I go that has a grilled foie gras on mango ice cream.
Really?
Yeah, spectacular.
Wow. And there's a place, one of my favorite restaurants is a place here called the Burger Bar over at Mandalay Bay. Mm-hmm. And they have a $60 hamburger of Kobe beef with foie gras on it. And you can't get more decadent than that unless you've got a four-leaf clover tattoo where the sun don't shine. I really liked her. I really was very fond of Elise. She just had, I like people who their points are not just right across the board. You know, I like that she can be a vegetarian and understand exactly where her ethics lie. It's not just, oh, animals are cute, I don't like this. She has a really well thought out point of view on it. And I like that very much. That's a good thing. Like the Marine who's against the draft. I like people with complicated ideas. If Steve Dahl called,
not on the line.
Steve Dahl is not on the line. Steve Dahl is not. Where is the outrage, Steve? Where is the outrage? Well, listen, someone will tell him. You people in Chicago, when Steve comes on the air in a few minutes, just do pick up the phone, call Steve Dahl, and tell him I was shouting out to him to join this foie gras battle that we're all fighting. Angelina, we got time for one more phone call. Things have been working now, so I'm very excited.
You're very excited, are
you? Yeah.
Let's see. Let's talk to line 3 if they're still there.
Line 3, you still there?
Yeah. Hi.
How you doing, man?
Hey, I wanted to talk about the draft.
Sure. You've got like 30 seconds, so it's got to be fast. I'm so sorry.
Well, I just got to say that, you know, the one thing you got to remember is that this country gives us so much stuff. You know, they give us all these freedoms, mm-hmm. and all they ask for us is taxes and to sign up to defend us if and only if they call upon us, which is a really slim chance. I signed up and I pray that we don't go to war. Of course, I don't want to go to war.
Sure.
But I signed up because you're supposed to. It's part of the contract you signed for being an American.
That's certainly thanks a lot. That's certainly a very valid point of view. You know, I'm against the high taxes that we have. I'm against a lot of the prohibitions we have. But I have an implied contract by living here. I could go somewhere else, and I can fight against all those rules. But there's an implied contract in being under that, which is a very good point of view. And the Marine who was against signing up had that kind of point of view too. I think that you can speak your conscience, fight for what you believe. But still, there's an implied contract in living in the country. Thanks a lot for calling. Fight the foie gras ban. And everything's beautiful here in Las Vegas. Bright light city, gonna set my soul. Gonna set my soul on fire.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.